I'm Chris Richards from New Internationalist magazine, and I'm joined today by environmentalist extraordinaire Dr. Vandana Shiva. As a world-renowned scientist based in northern India, she's a powerful and passionate advocate protecting food supplies. She set up a remarkable legacy to humanity, a seed bank to protect biodiversity through Navdanya, a movement that she set up in 1991 to counter corporate control of the food chain. Navdanya has worked with 300,000 Indian farmers.
When I started Navdanya, which means nine seeds, and it can also mean the new gift, it was basically to have an alternative to the emerging monopolies of the giant corporations who were taking over biotechnology, the seed companies. These were the old chemical giants like Monsanto, like Syngenta, and the idea that all seed and all life on the earth would be patented and genetically manipulated by them was so abhorrent to me, given that I spent all my life defending the diversity of plants and trees and crops. So I thought I'd start creating community seed banks so that farmers could not be criminalized for saving and sharing seeds, because patents on seed, intellectual property rights on seed, in effect says a farmer saving seed is a thief, a farmer sharing seed with a neighbor is a thief. And I could not accept this immoral order, took inspiration from Gandhi, who disobeyed the salt laws of the British and said, nature gives it for free, we will continue to make the salt for our survival and our needs. We will disobey our salt laws. And that is the spirit with which I started Navdanya. We set up more than 35 community seed banks across the country. And in any place where Navdanya has worked, not a single suicide has taken place. Because when farmers have their own seeds and do organic farming, there's no question of them getting into debt and committing suicide.
We should say that 200,000 farmers have committed suicide as a result of biotech in the cotton industry in particular. Is that right, Vandana?
Yes. If you make a map of the suicides, it has a one-to-one correspondence with the cotton belt, and increasingly the cotton belt is becoming a BT cotton belt. BT is a genetically engineered cotton that Monsanto monopolizes. It has licensing arrangements with many companies. So you might think a Mahiko is different from a Nath, is different from a Rallis, but ultimately they're all licensees of Monsanto. Vidarbha in Maharashtra is the worst hit. The acreage of BT has shot up to 2.8 million acres. One farmer is committing suicide every 6 hours in Vidarbha now.
Wow.
And Navdanya has started a campaign called Seeds of Hope, where we are distributing seeds to farmers, asking them to give up BT cotton because they have no other seed. They keep buying BT cotton because Monsanto has ensured there's a seed famine. Today, I will leave for a very historic place called Champaran, from where Gandhi started another satyagraha, another civil disobedience movement against the compulsory planting of indigo. Indigo used to be the blue dye, and Indian peasants could not grow food for themselves. They had to grow indigo for the British textile industry. I will start a two-week seed pilgrimage with my colleagues and farmers through 8 states of India. We will be distributing seeds, we will be saving seeds on the journey, and I believe as long as farmers have their own seed, they have not just seed freedom, but they have their food freedom and they have their food sovereignty. So we are bringing them seeds of food crops, we are bringing them seeds of non-BT cotton, and this is something your listeners could join, no matter where they are. Join the campaign of Seeds of Hope, contribute to helping farmers grow organic food, grow organic cotton, and through that, get out of the suicide trap. This movement for creating hope through GMO-free villages is a very, very important part of Navdanya's work.
So how deep is genetic modification reaching into the crops of India at the moment then, Vandana?
The genetically engineered BT cotton is the only crop that's grown on any commercial scale in India. We are trying to get into vegetables, but so far our movements and legal cases have prevented that from happening.
In protest against transnational takeovers of food markets, she's recently been building the movement for retail democracy. Why, Vandana?
Well, giant corporations like Walmart started to try and enter India after the United States government and the government of India signed a very strange-sounding treaty, a bilateral agreement called U.S.-India Knowledge Initiative in Agriculture. But on the board of this bilateral are Walmart and Monsanto and Cargill and ConAgra. And it's basically a takeover of seed by Monsanto, a takeover of trade by Cargill and the other agribusiness, and an attempt to take over India's retail market, which gives direct employment to more than 400 million people, the vegetable vendors who walk down our streets and bring our brinjals and potatoes to our doorstep, the clothes vendors, the markets that are set up weekly. This is a direct assault to what I call India's retail democracy, deep democracy of the kind where we have direct relationships between buyers and sellers, and these are community relationships. I know my sabjiwala, my vegetable vendor. I know when he'll come. He knows what we like. This is not a pure anonymous retail relationship. This is really an extension of the family. So the movement for retail democracy was started both to defend the livelihoods of millions, as well as to defend an India that's livable rather than the horrible India of box stores.
Vandana, we've been talking about a number of science-led threats to the food supply chain, genetic engineering, nanotechnology. Looking into your crystal ball, what's next on the horizon, do you think?
Well, I think the science horizon is going to split. There's going to be the reductionist science that's brought us the chemicals and then the genetic engineering and now nanotechnologies. And on the other side, there's going to be the holistic science that is bringing us ecological farming, good, healthy, wholesome processing, and the science of a holistic nutrition, a better integration of farming with health and the environment.
Yes.
And I believe the environmental crisis around agriculture, the food crisis, the obesity crisis, all kinds of food-related diseases are compelling humanity to step back and see whether leaving our food in the hands of corporations who bring new mysterious tools to manipulate our food and say this is high-tech, therefore trust us, whether people are going to trust them or not, I think will be a big issue of food freedom. We will have food freedom or we will have food fascism with technologies being used as a way of controlling our food system.